creativity, innovation, logic, argumentation, debates. And that's what Hashem wants us to do. But, like a kite that is flying in the air, it has to be held down, right, by somebody. Meaning to say, when does Hashem want you to be creative? Only when you're rooted in the Torah Shebichtav. In other words, when your primary goal is to serve Hashem and obey Hashem's Torah, then you can use all of these different tools. But if you don't have the Torah Shebichtav to the right, then you're just doing your own creative thing. It no longer becomes Torah Shebichtav, it becomes serving yourself. And therefore, the lesson here is the following. Hashem wants us to use our creativity, our abilities, our individuality. But only if it's the left side of us, meaning to say the dominant part of us, must be rooted in Kabbalah's Ol Malchus Shamayim. And when we are rooted, we can become like the kite that flies. As opposed to if you're not rooted on that aspect of things, then your creativity just becomes self-indulgence and self-advertisement. And then it's serving yourself and it's not serving yourself.
Why is that human neuromagnetic thing like this bit also has been explained, also has fire? And also, you have to work on it.
Yeah, that's a good point. But I think there's a concept too that it is said there are seven types of wisdom in the world. So the numbers are referenced in seven types of chachmas. Instead of just one big fire, this is more attuned to the idea of seven chachmas that come into the world. Yeah, but I'm assuming the question was, why couldn't this fail?
Because why couldn't that work? Because we know it was set up by the chachmas.
We could have started with different things. That's a good question. I know I was thinking about that, and that I mentioned to the answer. That is, if you need Torah Shebichtav and Torah Shebichtav, why do we only have the Torah Shebichtav symbol the whole year? Except for the Shabbos symbol, because that's only Shabbos. And because the Torah Shebichtav symbol only have on Chanukah. That's a good question. I have to think about it some more. Why only Chanukah? We don't have a menorah every day of the year based on that. Now, this is an important bit of what you to think about. Because sometimes we have the attitude that a life of Torah stymies our creativity and our individuality because there are so many things we can't do. And even if we're going to be a third person, we kind of do it with a sense of sacrifice. Well, I guess I'll give up this and give up that and give up that and give up that because that's what Hashem says I got to do. I got to not. That's, by the way, that's a madrega. That's a high madrega. I'm not disparaging that madrega. But in a deeper sense, one has to realize that being rooted in submission to the Ratzon Hashem actually enables your creativity to be expressed in a positive way, as opposed to a kite that flies into the stratosphere. You're a kite that can soar because you are rooted and you have a foundation. You know, there was an Indian poet, Tagore, not Jewish, of course, who won the Nobel Prize for Literature around World War I. So he's a very, very famous poet. He once gave a beautiful mashal, just nothing to do with Judaism. He said, a human soul is like a violin string that has a beautiful capacity for music. But let's imagine I took a violin string and I put it on the kitchen table, totally loose, a loose string, totally free, unencumbered, not tied down. It would not be able to express any of its music. When can it express its music? when it's tied down on the bridge of the violin. That's a paradox. Being tied down, submitting to Hashem, is not restricting your freedom. It's enabling your creativity to be expressed. This is what Chazal said. Ein ben chol, ela mi she'oseh b'Torah. A truly free person is one who learns Torah and mitzvos. And that's hard for us to grasp sometimes. But I'll give you an analogy, even from the secular world. You know, you often see musicians, jazz musicians in particular, who have what are called riffs, which are improvisational riffs, you know, that's what some of us can play spontaneously. So you have a kid who's just learning how to play, and he says, I want to do those things. So he picks up his trombone and just starts blowing, and it sounds like a three-year-old. You have to understand, before you're able to do all of these creative things, you have to have the discipline of basic technique. You play scales, you know, for 5 hours a day, for a year, whatever it is. And when you are Picasso, like Picasso and these artists that you drew, even these abstract artists, right? Sometimes you see abstract art, and it looks like somebody kicked their can of paint. Still looks like that, you know. Some little kid thinks he can do the same thing. Now, again, I can't answer why it isn't the same thing, to tell you the truth. But apparently, those who are experts say it's totally different. That Jackson Pollock, whoever these artists are, you know, they have mastered basic techniques. So there is a concept that creativity requires commitments. It requires discipline. It requires submission. This is even true in a secular sense. But in Ruchnius, that's certainly the case. The beauty and the music within your neshama will come out by your submission to the Ratzon Hashem. And conversely, that submission does not curtail you, but it should enable you to find an avenue of true expression. Because HaKadosh Baruch Hu does not want people to be monolithic. He does not want you to simply be part of a massive crowd. He wants your individuality, he wants your uniqueness, he wants your talents, because your talents were the gifts that he gave you. But within this framework, now you can be the menorah on the left when you have the Torah Shavuot Sabbath on the right. Okay, so that's kind of the very important lesson of Ner Chanukah. But I want to share with you one more lesson that I think is also useful. That is, there's a famous machlokas Bishami and Beisilah. How do you light the Hanukkah candles? I don't know, you must have discussed this a lot.